You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, almost our culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. I'm trying to fix that. Culture, current events, and Catholic stuff. No. It's culture, current events, and Catholic things. That's what I'm moving toward. Because it's Catholic things. Everything's a Catholic thing. Yeah, come on. Culture, current events, Catholic things. Leo Brown, almost hour. I'll get it right eventually. The war on media is ratcheted up even more with more focus now. Steve Bannon saying we're doubling down. This coming from the CPAC convention. We're going to talk about that this afternoon. Also, Pope Francis with an interesting reflection on maybe it's better to be an atheist than a bad Catholic. At least you're not scandalous, right? I understand. I know. I'm sure I bring scandal to the faith far too frequently. So we'll get into that as well. And disturbing, I've talked about tribalism. I've talked about scapegoating. And now a man from India shot dead after an American spewing racial slurs decided to just shoot him dead in cold blood for absolutely no reason. We'll talk about all of that and more this afternoon. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, almost hour. Back in a moment.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, almost hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic. No. Like I say, I'm trying to change it up. And it's one of those things that just rolls out of you so frequently that you just can't. It's hard to change. All right, here, we'll try it again. Culture, current events, and Catholic things. It's like the outtakes, right, of the Cannonball Run. If you're old enough to remember this beautiful movie, this wonderful, amazing cinematic masterpiece known as the Cannonball Run. The first movie I ever saw that did the outtakes at the end, right? So all of the shots that didn't make the movie because nobody could get it right, they were there. Finally, with Burt Reynolds slapping Dom DeLuise to try to get him to focus. Funny, funny stuff. Yes, I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, almost hour. Culture, current events, Catholic things. There we go. Look at that. Finally got it. So Steve Bannon is now seeming to double down on the focus of the media as being the enemy. And this coming from the CPAC convention, the conservative convention, where Bannon was there saying, yeah, it's going to get worse. You can bet it's going to get worse. We're going to keep on keeping on. And now, yeah, I think you've heard me talk about this enough, but there's a handful of things that I think are challenges here. One, we're talking about a president of the United States choosing to have an enemy. Now, I posted this a few days ago. John F. Kennedy beautifully, 1962 or 3? When was this that he was saying this? Saying that, you know, do I like being raked across the coals in the media? No, but I think it's important. I think it's important to have that perspective because that helps me understand things a little bit better as far as the perception of me, right? Think about that. If we all had that kind of 360, I mean, what a beautiful experience to have people criticizing you that publicly. Because granted, the people who love you are always going to love you. They're going to love you. And the people who hate you are always going to hate you. But when you kind of get into the middle ground and you can kind of get some good feedback all around, that's valuable, invaluable, really. And that's what President Kennedy was saying. He was saying, you know, I respect this. And then even made a point to say Khrushchev, the leader of Russia at the time, doesn't have this. He's like, he doesn't have this opportunity because he's got a state-run media and all they're going to do is bow to him. So he doesn't have the advantage that I have because I know what people are saying. I may not like it, but I know what they're saying. And I think there's something incredibly valuable about that. The other thing that, you know, like I say, one is the president saying this. The other is that Steve Bannon runs a media company. Now, he may have, quote unquote, stepped away to do his White House thing. But he is the CEO of Breitbart, which is a media company. So to me, it looks like a big conflict of interest. All of this looks like a big conflict of interest. We've got a guy running a media company who is advising the president, and the president is bashing media. Now, I've heard it as, but Leo, he's not bashing all media. Well, of course he's not. He doesn't come out there and say Breitbart's getting it wrong every day. He says it's CNN, it's New York Times, it's the Washington Post, it's whomever on his list. MSNBC, I don't know who he's called by name. These are the enemy of the people. I don't know why we don't see that this is troublesome. At the very least, troublesome. Because here's what can always happen. In any situation, someone has a scoop, right? This is what we called it back in the days of reporting. Who's got the scoop? You didn't want to get scooped. You wanted to get the scoop. You wanted to find the story before anybody else because there was something about that getting it first that meant you kind of had the ownership of the story and then others kind of had to follow on your coattails. Not so much the case anymore, but still, someone could scoop a story. And it could be completely true, and it can be completely validated in every possible way. There's no question this happened. We've reported the facts exactly. All is on the up and up. And then, because someone doesn't like it, simply because someone doesn't like it, it can be called fake. Now, that's all it takes this day and age. We've come to a really bizarre reality that if I call what you're saying fake, it doesn't exist. I can make it all go away. Everything just goes away. Fake news. Oh, that's just fake news. Oh, well, thank you. And then at least half of the country says, okay, well, that's fake. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. You can say, you know what? I'm not sure that that story is substantiated. I would encourage you to check the facts on that. And when you do that, now you're not saying that it's completely falsified. You're simply saying, I don't know that I can trust that substantiated. I don't know that there's enough substantiation, right? And then the public has the option and the opportunity to dig more and explore more and see what it really looks like. That would be the best way of handling this. But apparently we're at war. I think they've made it very clear. I think the administration has said these organizations are the enemy of the people. Therefore, we have to combat them. And, you know, it's good to have a common enemy. There's nothing like rounding the troops behind the common enemy. And I guess if we can't stir enough from travel bans and sanctions and whatever else across the country to get the ire up of other countries that could become our enemy, well, let's just create one within. And let's create one that will fight back. Right? Because not everybody will fight back. You can pick on some and they'll roll over and forget about it. Media people aren't that way. Because there's an interesting art to the craft. And artists are the most temperamental and and loyal to their art individuals you ever want to meet. So when you start picking on the media is going to fight back. And then your path to discrediting them will make them look crazier and crazier. And then eventually, no one believes them. And because they've lost all credibility, because they've lost all readership, all ratings, all viewers, they lose revenue and they can't stay in business. And that's kind of the, when you get a president that is so stuck on ratings, that's all he wants to talk about, ratings of news. Ratings does not make something truer. If I've got more viewers, is this more true than somebody who has less? That's another. Well, you can't trust them. Like, they barely have any kind of blip on the radar. They can't be trusted. Which, again, is not the American way. Our way is, I don't care how small you are, you have opportunity in this country. Now, as Catholics, we see it even more vividly that I don't care how small you are, you have dignity equal to mine. And if I don't treat you with that dignity, then I'm missing the mark. And certainly as Catholics, if we don't treat others with equal dignity, we can't have, I don't care. I don't care what you say. You love God only as much as you hate the person that you're decrying. Now, I know I've said some nasty things. Well, let's put it this way. I know I've said some emotional things. I've said things like disdain for the president and this and that. But I promise you, I still believe he has equal dignity. And I would never do anything to diminish that. And I would never say he shouldn't be president. I would never say he can't say that. I would simply say, I think that there's problems. I think there's questions. I think we need to ask better questions. I think we need to be more astute. But I'm not going to flat out slander him. Because I know that my love of God is only as strong as the love I show others. And as Jesus says, even the pagans love those who love them, right? So if I don't will the best, and if I don't have in my heart a desire to see everyone succeed and have the best opportunity, then I'm missing the mark. Now, granted, I want those who attempt to succeed to do it in an ethical fashion and in a fashion that doesn't step on others and doesn't discredit others and doesn't hinge their success on others losing. I want that. And I'll talk about that and I'll rally for that and I'll champion that in every way I can. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to diminish someone's dignity. I'm not going to discredit them. And I'm not going to say that they're totally untrustworthy. Yeah, has the president seemed to contradict himself? Should we talk about that? Absolutely. We don't need to discredit his dignity. More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Back after this.
You are listening to BreadBox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Good afternoon. We're back in Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Culture, current events, Catholic things. Got it right this time. It's new. It's a change, right? So those little shifts and tweaks sometimes take a little while to figure out. Welcome back. Happy to have you talking this afternoon about this interesting development, I think, that we've seen coming from. Well, first off, I'll say this. For years, I've heard it, having been Catholic since 2001. I'm not lifelong Catholic, but I've been at this a little while now. I've heard this lament of, I wish those who are marginal Catholic or non-Catholic or Protestant, I wish they would listen more. I wish they would be more open to Catholic teachings, right? I've kind of heard that lament. Then what happens? Pope Francis comes along and begins to resonate with those who may not be necessarily choir Catholics, right? Not the ones who are closest to the close, but those who are maybe more outside the doors of the church or more in the culture. And they begin to listen. They begin to go, wow, this guy is making sense, and I like this, and I like what I'm hearing. And then those individuals, those same individuals who so desperately wanted their voices to be heard, or the Catholic voice to be heard, now wants Pope Francis to shut up, right? Because he's essentially a heretic. So it's a bizarre dynamic that we've got. But the one thing I will say is, when you got CNN, you got Time Magazine, I can't remember the others, who are basically saying the same thing about what Pope Francis has said when it comes to it's better perhaps to be an atheist than a bad Christian. I think that's good. I think that's pretty cool that we're having that type of conversation, because it really begins to delineate, I think, what many see as hypocrisy and many see as inconsistency, and this is where we fall short. And when we don't see that, when we think we can go to Mass weekly, daily, whatever, receive the sacraments, and then go and just lambast someone for being on government assistance, for instance, whatever, or being here illegally, or wanting to have some sort of assurance of health insurance, right? I mean, you know, so when there's basic human needs, when there are things that are just ignored and or worse, denied, then we got a real problem. Because that's not living Christianity by any means. That's doing something completely weird and inconsistent and unfortunate. So in this article, Pope Francis quotes St. John Chrysostom, who says, "No act of virtue can be great if it is not followed by advantage for others." So no matter how much time you spend fasting, no matter how much time you sleep on a hard floor, eat ashes, or sigh continually, if you do no good to others, you do nothing great. And I think we could add in there, no matter how much time you spend in prayer, right? No matter how much time you spend before the Blessed Sacrament, no matter how much time you spend going to Mass, if that's not backed up by getting out and giving of yourself in some way, shape, or form and finding ways to make others' lives better, what have you done? What have you done? I saw some interesting criticism of the Benedictines. Of course, St. Benedict with the order of monks who basically would, as the rule says, to not intermingle into the culture because of the fear of the influence that could come from that. And the opposite of the Franciscans, which, you know, they're an active order. They're out serving and doing and connecting and whatever. And, you know, it's you kind of got to look at that and say, well, which one seems to probably resonate more? Just questioning what's going to get the most bang for the buck out in the culture. It's when you're out there, right? It's when you're doing this stuff. And just for the sake of saying, you know, not all Benedictines are away from the culture. I'm reminded of the amazing work of St. Benedict Prep in Boston, Massachusetts, where an incredible ministry is booming and has for 40 years because of what they're doing in that community and because of the fact that the Benedictines are there guiding that school and the education of those young men. It's amazing what St. Benedict Prep has done. So don't think that I'm being just blanketly critical. Not what I'm trying to do at all. I'm simply saying, you know, don't make excuses for yourself to say, well, I need to be in contemplation all the time. Now, because if contemplation doesn't lead to action, it's no contemplation at all. If in your prayer, if in your time of reflection, you're not spurred into saying, okay, what can I do? And how can I do for others? Because I have skills and resources that they don't have. So how can I manage to make that happen? If we're not doing that effectively, we aren't doing this thing right. So my challenge is, honestly, yeah, I went through a phase of realizing that after pretty much identifying with conservatism since my moment of being able to vote, right? Because my first president, really, I mean, I remember Jimmy Carter, of course. I was young and I was old enough, still young. I vividly remember Nixon, even though I was young. I remember Carter, of course, but my president, didn't vote for him, but my first president that I really got to love was Ronald Reagan. And he just seemed to be the man to me. He seemed to be the guy who got things done. He seemed to be more than fair. He seemed to be willing to work with others he disagreed with to get things moving forward. And I was impressed by his diplomacy and by his ability to lead. And he was my guy, right? He was my guy. And I immediately gravitated toward conservatism and the Republican platform because of Ronald Reagan. I never left it. And recently, right? It's been brewing for a long time. But over the past few years, I've kind of come to realize that I can't align with that ideology anymore. I can't label myself. Let's put it this way. There's too much questionable territory in GOP politics for me as a Catholic, taking my faith seriously. There's far too much dubious area that I have to avoid. So therefore, I couldn't label myself. I could no longer label myself Republican, and I went and put my independent status down on paper as a registered independent. I had to do that. I was forced out of my own party because I could no longer embrace that platform wholeheartedly, and top to bottom, I couldn't put checks in the boxes that I agreed with everything. I'm about to do the same thing with Christianity, right? Because labeling myself as that and it having a connotation that immediately says there's something funky in a lot of people's minds, right? I mean, that's kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, I get you. You're one of those judgmental types, yeah. You're one who just wants me to change as opposed to accept me as I am. Whatever that label, when we use it, whatever it calls to mind, whatever responses that we get, I think we have to be more than aware of that. And I think we have to stop and go, wait a minute, maybe instead of labeling ourselves as anything, we should just act in a way that would be, first off, as honoring of the dignity of this individual, and maybe as if both Jesus and Pope Francis were watching, right? As both Christ and the Vicar of Christ had their eye on us when we're dealing with other people, maybe that's how we treat other people. And we don't worry about a label. We don't worry about saying, yes, I am Christian. And we know if you deny me before the others, I'll deny you before my Father. Well, you know what? That might mean how we treat others, right? If we kick other people in the teeth, especially when they're in need, if we ignore them, if we drive past them, if we assume that we can't offer them anything or they don't need our help or we don't have time for them or whatever, right? Maybe that's the denial. Certainly seems to be when we look at Matthew 25, it's pretty clearly outlined. This is the open book test. Maybe it's less about calling yourself something and more like acting like it. Back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this.
You are listening to BreadBox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. BreadBox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Good afternoon. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, Catholic things. 50 minutes every afternoon. Thank you for listening. Tragic story coming out of Kansas where an Indian, a man from India, of India descent, was murdered by a racial slur-spewing white guy. And yeah, it kind of just, you know, I've been talking a lot about tribalism, but talking a lot about scapegoating. And, you know, and then there are those who are like, well, Leo, you're just, you know, you blow things out of proportion and you assume the worst. And I, you know, here's the thing. When we start saying this group is restricted, then we're saying this group is substandard. When we say this group is substandard, we say this group is dangerous at times. We say this group is to be feared. We say this group is to be stopped. And, you know, so realize what you're doing when we say this is who we're singling out. I mean, you know, and it's unfortunately true. It doesn't matter. It's bad either way. It's unfortunately true, and it doesn't matter. It's bad either way that many look at Indians and they can't tell the difference between someone from India and someone from the Middle East. It's simply, there's no distinction to them. But it doesn't matter if you're looking at somebody and making a judgment of whether they're good or bad based on how they look. It's crazy anyway, right? Crazy. But I do know that there were, I know, there's the turban-wearing Indians who were harassed pretty heartily after September 11th. I know that. But the bottom line is that when we assume that because of someone's nationality, because of someone's ethnicity, that they're either A, substandard, or B, a combatant enemy, someone that we need to rid ourselves of, we got a problem. And we got this Americanism, nationalism, so ratcheted up now that we see it. We've seen it in It's not fake news. It's not some sort of fabricated, let's look for the harassment under every rock. It is happening. It's happening more than it has in the past, and that is that there are people of what appear to be people who appear to be not American, not white Anglo-Saxon, target targeted repeatedly by in hateful episodes. We've seen it. It happens. It continues to happen. And as long as that happens, as long as we continue to see something of that nature occurring, it could only get worse, right? And we don't have, what we don't have is a leader coming in to say, wait a minute. Now, we heard the, apparently, President Trump, and I commended him for this, and I'll continue to commend him for this. He came in and said the anti-Semitic stuff has to stop. That's great, but that to me is not enough. Is he going to speak out about this incident? We saw President Obama. We even saw President Bush speaking out about issues of this nature when something that was of concern enough to make a public statement and say, whoa, we're this is getting out of hand. Are we going to get that response from our president? Or are we going to get an immediate response from him like, oh, these protesters at the town hall, those guys are paid protesters? Because he spoke out immediately about that. Why would you be silent on a foreign nationalist being murdered? Cold-bloodedly in some sort of act of ridiculous racial insanity. But let's talk about how protesters are paid, because that's important. It's important to discredit those who are being critical. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think we got a very challenged situation on our hands. I think we're dealing with a dangerous situation. I think we've got, when individuals are doing this kind of stuff and you don't have a leader stepping up and going, wait a minute, if you ever interpreted me in my desire to make America great again as saying that we hate those from other places, we don't want them here, and we're going to kill them. If you ever interpreted me saying that, you are horribly wrong. If you support me, if you voted for me, if you follow me, that's going to stop. And I promise you, you have not seen the type of retaliation that my administration will bring on individuals who behave that way. There is zero tolerance. Zero tolerance. You want to see me break bad? That's how I break bad. Don't do that. Don't do that and assume that you're riding on a coattail of something that I've presented. Now you tell me. If a president spoke out that way, would that not be impressive? Would you not say, well, okay, well, we do have a strong leader. We do have a leader who cares about this country and about really making it great. Great for everyone. No, instead, it's a criticism of his administration or a GOP congressperson or senator, and well, we got to speak up. Well, that we can't trust. Yeah, these protesters, they're all paid. They come from other states. They show up and can't be trusted. It's all media circus stuff, and the media is making it all up, and it's all fake news. Because that's important. That's really important. It's not important to address a murder cold-blooded, unnecessary, not that murder is ever necessary, unless it's truly self-defense. If somebody's being attacked and you have to defend yourself and someone's life is taken as a result, but not what we're talking about. If I was president, that video that shows up of the woman in the mall railing on the Hispanic girls, I would have spoken out on that. No, this stops with me. Do you understand? No, we don't behave this way. This is not how Americans act. Zero tolerance for this kind of behavior, because that's hate speech and it's degrading. So let's not see this type of stuff escalate, because I promise you we will crack down on this and you will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law for treating people that way. It's not how we act in America. We're going to be great. And part of the greatness is treating others with respect. Do you understand? If for whatever reason you assume that this was okay under my leadership, you are wrong. Get that straight. Thank you. Press conference is over. That's what I would do. And we're not hearing that. Of course we're not hearing that. We're not going to hear that. And I wouldn't discredit the media. I wouldn't trust the media is my delivery mechanism. I see this thing, and I'll research it, because if I'm wrong, so be it. But in Kentucky, Mitch McConnell, one of our senators, at a town hall with a woman just railing on him, he won't even look at her. He just was looking away from her when she's talking about the struggles in eastern Kentucky with coal jobs and what she's worried about with health care. Why would you not say, ma'am, I am so, so sorry. I thank you for sharing that. And listen, I hope you know that I care. I hope you know that I care. And I hope you know that we are going to do everything we possibly can. I hate this. I hate this for you. I hate the fact that we're where we are now when it comes to coal jobs, when it comes to health care, when it comes to the challenges that you're facing in your area of our state. But my commitment is to you and to others like you and to all of those suffering to find a new day that's going to dawn, because I am here. And I will work with this administration. We're going to do everything, because I'm going to go to bat for you, because I'm your senator. I'm supposed to do that, and I will. My heart breaks for you, and I'm sorry that you're here in this angst and you're challenged the way you are. But you know what? Let's work on this together. I'm there for you in Washington. You be here for me at home, and let's work on this together. How hard is that to say? Instead, it's like, well, the winners make the rules and the losers go home, whatever the heck you say. It's so disingenuous and so sickening, right? I mean, have a heart. As Gary Vaynerchuk says, you want a business model? How about give a damn, right? How about that? Maybe care. Maybe care a little bit. Same goes for politics. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? That's all we have time for this afternoon. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.